The Enduring Church of God presents Charles E. Bryce, bringing you a straightforward message on the abundant life and the good news of the kingdom of God.
Hello, everyone. General Douglas MacArthur gave his farewell address to Congress on April 19, 1951. In that farewell address, he said this: "Men, since the beginning of time, have sought peace. Various methods through the ages have been attempted to devise an international process to prevent or settle disputes between nations. From the very start, workable methods were found in so far as individual citizens were concerned, but the mechanics of an instrumentality of larger international scope have never been successful. Military alliances, balances of power, leagues of nations, all in turn have failed, leaving the only path to be by way of the crucible of war. The utter destructiveness of war now blocks out this alternative. We have had our last chance. If we will not devise some greater and more equitable system, Armageddon will be at our door. The problem basically is theological and involves a spiritual recrudescence and improvement of human character that will synchronize with our almost matchless advances in science, art, literature, and all material and cultural developments of the past 2,000 years. It must be of the spirit if we are to save the flesh," General Douglas MacArthur said. Those are profound words from a very experienced and knowledgeable leader of his day, General Douglas MacArthur. And those words are just as true today as they were the day he spoke them. We must find the way to lasting world peace, or the alternative will be the utter destruction of all mankind. In other words, Armageddon will be at our door, is the point the general was making. And he was also making it plain that to resort to war to produce world peace will never work. So, how will peace come? Will it come? What is needed to produce lasting world peace on this earth? I want to quote from a book entitled Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like, written by Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong. And in this book, on page 34, he said this: "World-famous scientists now say frankly that the only hope for survival on Earth is a supreme world-ruling government controlling all military power." You notice that? A supreme world-ruling government controlling all military power. These world-famous scientists, Mr. Armstrong went on to say, admit that is impossible for man to accomplish. Impossible for man to accomplish. Now, they try. They try to bring world peace about through world government, but they can't establish world government. They will establish treaties. They will establish détente. They will establish armistice agreements. They have established the United Nations, which is a joke when it comes to producing world peace. They try this and that and the other thing, and nothing works. That's what we read in the Bible here in Jeremiah 6 and verse 14. Let's turn there. Jeremiah 6 and verse 14. Here's what God inspired Jeremiah to write: "They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, the crushing pain of my people." Only superficially is the meaning of verse 14. And here's how they do it, and here's what they say: saying, "Peace, peace, when there is no peace. We've signed a peace treaty with this nation. These two nations have reached a peace accord." And on, we hear in the news. And yet lasting world peace does not happen, no matter how many agreements and how many meetings take place. There are wars going on right now in many places on the face of this earth. We know about the war in Iraq and in Afghanistan. There's war in the Congo. There's war in Somalia. We have the threat of war in the Middle East between Israel and Hamas. Russia is rattling their war words and sabers again. And on it goes. Yet we hear this peace accord is taking place, and this peace envoy is going here, and they've signed this agreement. but it's all words. Peace, peace, when there is no peace. Let's notice Matthew chapter 24 and verse 6 and see what Jesus Christ said about the times in which we're living. And, you know, these words were spoken nearly 2,000 years ago. Yet Jesus Christ was able to look down into the future and tell us exactly what conditions in this world would be like. And he described it to a T. Just notice here in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 6. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Isn't that what we hear every day when we turn on the news or read the newspaper? That's exactly what we hear about. You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. It's a way of life for mankind to enter into war, to recover from war, and to prepare for war and enter into war again. Armaments and weapons and whole electronic systems are being developed to wage war on enemies or nations or populations that a nation feels threatened by. The answer is not peace. The answer is war, according to man's way of dealing with this. It's not abated in 6,000 years, and it's not retreating now, this way of war that mankind continually stays engaged in. Oh, there's pockets of quietness over here, and there are nations that get along in various other locations on the earth from time to time, and sometimes for a long time. But when you look at the world as a whole, you do not see total and lasting world peace at all. And you see no promise of such a condition, because man is trying to bring it about his way, well-intentioned in most cases, though they may be, these efforts by man. It's seeking peace man's way. And one nation's method of peace is not the same brand that another nation wants in the way of peace. And so you have conflict even over the subject of peace. How serious is this? Well, let's stay right here in Matthew chapter 24 and read verse 22. These are the words of Jesus Christ. Well, let's begin reading in verse 21, Matthew 24 and verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, verse 22, there should no flesh be saved. Moffat renders this saved alive. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. So Jesus Christ is saying right here that mankind will come to the point to where there will be so many weapons in the hands of so many irrational and radical nations that unless he intervenes, utter and total destruction of all mankind would take place. That's man's way of doing business. Even though he may be seeking peace, he's seeking it his way, which only leads to more war, more weapons, and more destruction. Mankind cannot establish peace on this earth, even though he wants to. He wants to do it his way, however. So that won't work. So what will be done? Will we be saved from ourselves? Will we have peace at last that will never turn into war again? If so, how will that take place? Well, there is good news. The total, permanent, lasting world peace and harmony so fervently sought after for so many years will finally come to pass all over the world for all mankind forever. Yes, truly, there will be a day when the headlines will read, "Peace breaks out all over the world and is permanently in place." What a wonderful day that will be. Do you know that's the gospel of the kingdom of God? That's the good news that Jesus Christ said we are to hear and that we are to preach. Here's how all of that's going to happen. Let's turn over here now to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. It's laid out perfectly and beautifully in God's word, and God inspired the Bible, his word. He says here in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 through the prophet Isaiah, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Look at this. The Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. Jesus Christ himself is coming back to this earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Do you know, he said himself he was born to be a king. He came first as our Savior. He's coming again as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he will be the King of Peace and the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. So it will be permanent upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So we're reading here about the answer to world war. The answer will be world peace brought about by the King of Peace and the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, who will establish the kingdom of God on this earth, and the government of God will then rule on this earth, and there will then be world ruling government that will then establish lasting world peace, never to be changed again. That is the good news and gospel of the Bible. And that is the good news and gospel of the kingdom of God that we are to be hearing and we are to be preaching and we are to be inspired and encouraged by. We face war. We face conflict. We face destruction in so many places on this earth today. We have to look past today to the world tomorrow when Jesus Christ will establish world peace through his world ruling government. That's when there will be no more war. But until that time, more war is all there's going to be. It's only a question of how many, where they'll take place, and how big they get. And there will be so many of them taking place in so many places and getting so big in scope that all of mankind would be destroyed if Jesus Christ himself did not intervene and stop that total and complete eradication of life off this planet. But the good news is, he's going to do that. Let's turn to Daniel now, chapter 2 and verse 44. This kingdom that's coming with the King, Jesus Christ, setting it up on this earth is mentioned in many places in the Bible. Here's one that's very, very clear. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed. See how encouraging that is? The time is coming when the kingdom of God is going to come back to this earth and it's going to be set up here and it'll never be destroyed. Now, we're not reading this in some history book written by man. We're not listening to this in some class conducted by some professor in some university spouting his own opinions and ideas, basing it on science and experts in the field of peace and war. We're not reading words that the best minds around today have come up with. We are reading words out of the Bible inspired by Almighty God. Now, we can prove God exists, and we can prove the Bible is inspired, and so therefore we know these words are true. They will stand. What they describe will take place. So, as we read the newspapers and listen to the news and watch the news, and we come up with the bottom line of pretty bleak-looking future we have here. Oh, there are spots and fits of nice times and some peace and some tranquility and some agreement. Before you know it, war is broken out again. And anytime you hear about temporary peace taking place over here or a quiet standoff that has been established over there, you also read about war breaking out in another place and death and mayhem taking place in yet another location. We're not talking about that kind of Band-Aid approach that man comes up with. What we want and what we must have and what we will have is total and complete lasting world peace, and it will be permanent. Nothing will disrupt it. That's coming. We have to look to that time and plan for that time and do what we can in our own personal lives to take part in that wonderful, glorious event that Jesus Christ will bring about. World peace through establishing his kingdom on this earth. And it says here in Daniel 2, verse 44, that kingdom will never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It's not going to be man's rule anymore. Man's ideas, man's organizations, man's committees and treaties and agreements. The kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces or crush and consume all these nations, or put an end to all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. That kingdom that God will set up will stand forever, and it will never be destroyed. And that's what we can read and believe in Daniel 2 and verse 44. And who will head up that kingdom? Who will be in charge? We've already read that, but let's read it again over here in Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 2. What an encouraging, wonderful thing it is to study God's word, to see what it says, and to understand he's in charge. Man is not. He will bring about his plan. Man cannot bring about a plan of peace, but God will bring about his plan, which is a plan for peace and for prosperity and for happiness and joy and for harmony among all nations forever and ever, once he sets up his kingdom on this earth and his Son and our Savior and soon coming King is in charge. Notice here in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 2, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abides a priest continually. Of course, that can only be talking about one great, spiritual, powerful, perfect being, and his name is Jesus Christ. And another name he has is King of Righteousness. And another name he has is King of Peace. So when he comes back to this earth and he sets up his kingdom, it's going to be a time of peace. The King of Peace is in charge. Peace will spread all over this earth. War will be a thing of the past. War colleges will no longer exist. Implements of war will no longer be found anywhere on this earth. And mankind will begin to help one another, love one another, cooperate with one another, learn from one another, serve one another on an individual basis and on a national basis and international basis. And then there's going to be peace, and there's going to be happiness, and there's going to be harmony instead of conflict and war and destruction. There will be peace on earth at last. No more war, no more conflict, and no more conflagration. There will only be what is described here in Isaiah chapter 32. Let's turn there. Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 17. What a tremendous description of the future right here in this passage. And this is the way it's going to be. It says here in verse 17 of Isaiah 32, "And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever." See that word? Forever. "And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation." Isn't this going to be a wonderful time? You know, when you study the history of mankind and you study the history of nations, you see just groaning and travailing and pain and suffering and poverty and sickness and death. And you can attribute most of that to war. Sooner or later, war breaks out. And then all of the agony and sorrow and suffering and utter chaos that goes along with it breaks out. War is glorified in movies and it's glorified in books, but you talk to people who've been in war and they don't glorify it. It's frightening. It's terrifying. It's so heartbreaking. There is so much misery and death and stench and suffering and terror. Yet we just continue to do that over and over and over again, engage in war, thinking that will finally lead to peace. World government cannot be brought about by mankind, because there is no nation that will give up its sovereign power and authority to another nation. Can you imagine China turning over its sovereign rights and power to the United States? Can you imagine the United States turning over its sovereign rights and rule to Germany? Can you imagine Venezuela turning over its authority and power to Brazil? I mean, it's not going to happen. No nation will do that. Well, then you can't have one world ruling government if that's the case. And yet you will only have war unless you have one world ruling government with the authority to enforce peace. And that will happen. But that one world ruling government will only come from Jesus Christ, who is the King of Peace, who will establish his government and his kingdom on this earth and bring about peace. There will be lasting peace forever and ever. And when that happens, it says right here in verse 18, my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. Mankind and every individual has always wanted that kind of earth and that kind of world and that kind of society to live in. Peaceable habitations and sure dwellings and quiet resting places. A society where you don't have to worry about violence. You don't have to fear death and destruction. You don't have to plan for, sooner or later, war coming. Mankind wants peace, but they want it their way. That'll never work. But mankind will be having the glorious experience of peace, but it'll be brought about God's way, and that's the best way. And then nobody can reverse that. Nobody can override that. No nation or groups of nations will be able to disrupt that peace, that lasting peace, that total, complete harmony all over the face of the earth, among all people and among all nations. That can only be brought about by Jesus Christ, and when he brings it about, nobody will be able to reverse it. So that's what we have to look forward to. That's good news. That's the gospel. That's the plan God has in mind. Now, in order for man to learn his way doesn't work, God has let man go his own way for the last 6,000 years, make his own choices, come up with his own ideas, develop his own civilizations and his own government and his own treaties and peace accords. And yet, every time, sooner or later, those efforts fail. They fall short. They do not succeed. They do not produce the desired result. And man hasn't learned his lesson fully yet, and so it continues. But when mankind and human beings have had enough time to understand, you can't work it out yourself. Your way is not the way to peace. Your way only leads to war. When that finally sinks in, and when man finally learns that lesson, just short of utterly destroying himself, Jesus Christ will step in. He will take over, and he will then show a better way. The proper way, the right way, his way. And that's when world peace will break out everywhere. And it will be lasting peace. It will be a time of total and complete unity and harmony and joy and happiness. There'll be situations that'll have to be worked out. There'll be misunderstandings that will have to be resolved. There'll be culture clashes that will have to be settled. But the point is, all of that will happen. Instead of just reaching a standoff, or instead of reaching no answer to the problems that come up, there will be workable answers that produce harmony and produce peaceful results. And then instead of one segment of society going at war with another segment of society and developing civil war within a nation, or one nation going at war with another nation over a border dispute or over water rights or over religion or over centuries-old hard feelings and prejudices, there will be answers. There will be solutions. There will be justice and fairness dealt out in all directions to everyone. And the result of that? Peace. Lasting peace. Joy and happiness. Everybody in every nation then reaching their full potential of productivity, of creativity, of development, of tremendous results that peace brings instead of horrible results that war brings. Several years ago, a leading national magazine addressed the precarious position in which mankind now finds himself. World events are building toward critical mass, which will then tip over the edge into a free fall to oblivion. This article pointed out that the only way to avoid such total annihilation of all life off this planet is the intervention of, quote, a strong hand from someplace. But what strong hand? And from what place? The answer to those questions is found right over here in Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15. Notice what Revelation 11 and verse 15 says. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So the time is coming when a permanent change will take place in the rulership of this world. And that change will go from mankind ruling, leading to war, to the King of Peace ruling and leading to peace. That time will be a time when all governments of this world will become one government under Jesus Christ himself. That's going to be the strong hand from some place that will save mankind from himself. That's going to be the solution to the problem of war. That is going to be the answer to the conflict and to the hostilities and to the unbelievable pain and agony that takes place all over the world in one way or the other on a daily basis through violence, through hatred, and through warfare. That's the strong hand from some place. That's Jesus Christ coming back to this earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords to establish peace forever and ever. Godspeed that day. And that day is coming. And so take heart, while we now face an uncertain future and we now face the possibility of hostilities breaking out at any time in almost any place on this earth, the time is coming when we will only face peace and harmony and happiness all over the world permanently. That may sound impossible. That may sound out of reach. That may sound like a pipe dream. But it's not. It's the truth. It's coming. It's going to happen. Christ will see to it. God will oversee it. The King of Peace is coming. He is going to establish his government on this earth. He is going to set up his kingdom. And then through that world ruling government, he will institute and maintain lasting world peace. If you would like more information about world peace and the solution to war and conflict, call for our free CD entitled, Thy Kingdom Come. You may also request our free article entitled, The Gospel Christ Preached. And be sure to ask for your free subscription to Straightforward Magazine. We will send this material to you by return mail without obligation and at no cost to you. Just call our toll-free number at 1-800-581-1317. That's 1-800-581-1317. Or you can go to our website at straightforward.org. Until next time, this is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.
For more information, you may write to Enduring Church of God, P.O. Box 1317, Chandler, Texas, 75758, or visit our website at straightforward.org.